606, good evening. I'm Mangino. Good to have you here tonight. Well, the Dow down over 600 points in one day. Worst three-day run going all the way back to 2008. And it's all because of the S&P deciding, the Standard & Poor's deciding to downgrade America's debt. And as a result of going from AAA to AA+, the markets got terrorized. But what's really crazy is that the price on Treasuries actually went up and the yield went down. It should be the other way around if it's really about the Treasuries and the debt issue. And what about the idea that Standard & Poor's decides to downgrade our debt, but there are other countries like the UK and France that have a greater debt-to-GDP ratio than we do? Well, why aren't they less than AAA? Is it about the economic conditions in this country, or is it about the political conditions in this country? We turn to Jamie Meredith, financial analyst and vice president at Heffron Tillotson, also co-host of Your Money and You Sundays right here on KDKA. Jamie, good to have you on tonight. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Robert.
So is it more about politics and the view of the way that politicians are at least handling the crisis that we're going through, or is it really about the fact that we just have way too much debt based upon how much money we make?
I think it's a little of both, but if you read the S&P downgrade report, and it's only about 8 pages, pretty easily if people Google it, I think out of the 8 pages, probably 7 pages were spent just blasting our politicians. And you're right, in that report they mentioned France and Canada and the UK, and they use some ratios. And some of those ratios of the countries that retain their AAA rating are actually worse than ours. So my first read of that S&P report was they were just blasting our politicians, and they don't have a lot of faith that our politicians are going to be able to get their act together to really put a good, solid solution to this debt situation.
Interesting. So it's not necessarily the full faith and credit of the United States. It's really about the full faith and credit at this point of these politicians we have running Washington.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the debt levels, and there's no question our country is headed in the wrong direction with the debt. I mean, we're spending more money than we have. But if you look historically, Japan was downgraded a couple months ago from AAA to AA. Now, their debt outstanding is about 2.5 times their GDP. Our debt outstanding is about 1 time of our GDP. Again, not great, but certainly not to the levels of other countries that have retained that AAA rating for a lot longer. I think what happened with the debt ceiling and the arguments about that, I think really spooked S&P to thinking, you know what, our political system may truly be broken, and they may not be able to come to any sort of agreement.
What my great concern is, too, and I think that they're onto something, because both sides, especially the extremes of both sides, politically speaking, and I realize that you're more the financial analyst guy than a politics guy, but I'm concerned that they are so interested and so focused on what happens in the next election that they really don't have much of a care when it comes to what's in the best interest of the country now.
Oh, that, you know, absolutely. If you look at, you know, the battle that we had a week ago, and this whole slide, I think, started a week and a half ago, when we were so mired in the question of whether or not the U.S. will voluntarily default. And we were heading to a voluntary default. And, you know, at first both sides were talking about big reduction numbers, $10 trillion, $8 trillion, $6 trillion. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, those are the numbers that we're going to have to cut. But what happened? You know, we went through this battle. They took it to the 11th hour, and we came to an agreement for $1.2 trillion over the next 10 years.
Right.
Now, $1.2 trillion, yeah, that's a step down the road, but they brought the United States to the point of default for a relatively minuscule number. If you look at what was lost in the markets today, the S&P 500 has a market cap of about $10 trillion. Mm-hmm. There was about $640 billion lost today in net worth. And,
wow.
You know, that, just the scale of the repercussions of that gridlock in Washington is astronomical.
And I think the markets are smarter than to buy into the $1.25 trillion or this $2.5 trillion with the different factors that kick in down the road. because the next 2 years, we're talking about a total of $10 billion in spending cuts. And all of these agreements that have been made to have all these cuts, whether it's the $1.25 that you talked about or as much as $2.5 trillion, are rendered meaningless when the next Congress gets sworn in, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you look at those spending cuts, you know, a billion here, a billion there, we're talking about real money. If you look at the, if you do the math, our government spends about $500 million an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, a $10 billion cut, you know, again, it's a step in the right direction, but, you know, relatively...
I'm not even sure it's a step. I mean, it may just be like a lean.
Yeah, it's maybe like a drip of sweat or something in the right direction, but really, you need a heck of a lot more than that.
Yeah, and I've heard this saying, once again, Jamie Meredith is with us, financial analyst and vice president with Heffer & Tittleton. You're going to hear him Sundays on Your Money and You right here on KDKA. I've heard it so oftentimes, you know, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. But I think when you're talking about the financial obligations of this country, we can't talk billions anymore. We got to get seriously into the trillions long term, don't we?
Oh, right now we are $14 trillion in debt. You know, there's 100 different projections, but, you know, you average those out, in about 5 years, that's projected to grow to 15 to 20 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a lot of money. Our brains cannot conceptualize how big that is. And, you know, I do a little thing with my clients where you take a piece of loose leaf paper and you just rip the corner off. And that's the proportion of a billion versus a trillion. A trillion is 1,000 billion.
Right.
We just can't conceptualize how big that number is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. What do you think about the notion that, you know, the Treasury prices actually went up? You would think that the Treasuries would respond to the downgrade by actually going down, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's one of those head scratchers that we have, where you think, you know, there's a lot of panic over this drop of from AAA. The double A, and really, if you look at the numbers and you look at statistically, really, there's not a statistical difference between double A plus and triple A. So, you know, it really isn't a material difference. I think our pride was hurt more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people are worried about this drop, so they sell out of good common stocks, and then they buy the government debt that was defaulted on. You look at some of these companies that people are selling. You take Apple Computer. Everybody knows everything about Apple. As we stand right now, Apple Computer has more cash on their books than the U.S. government. But people are selling Apple Computer and buying what many experts describe as the most overvalued investment on the planet, which is the U.S. Treasury.
Can you give me one more segment, Jamie?
Absolutely.
All right, do me a favor. Hold tight right there. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about what people ought to be doing with their money right now. Now that we've seen the worst three-day slide since 2008, does it mean that we should sell? Should we hold? Or is this a buying opportunity? What to do next? Some people have suggested on my Facebook page that it's time to put the money under the mattress. We'll get to that coming up next. News Radio 1020, KDKA. 619, Saturday. What an amazing day. I was at Mount St. Peter Parish, and they treat us so great when we go out there. Just love them out there at Mount St. Peter Parish in New Kensington. Wonderful food, Festa Italiana, fantastic music, games for the kids. Took my daughter and her girlfriend out, and oh my goodness. If you don't go there, you're missing out. You really are. I don't know how everybody in New Kensington doesn't go. The lasagna is just insane. It really is. Way too much food did I eat this weekend. Way, way too much. We're talking with Jamie Meredith. Jamie is the vice president for Heffer & Tittleton, also a financial analyst and co-host of Your Money and You, heard Sundays right here on KDKA. Jamie, when it comes to investing right now, a lot of people are wondering, what do we do? Do you hold and just hope to ride this thing out? Do you sell off and hope that you don't take any more of a hit? Or is this really a buying opportunity? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a really challenging thing when you see the markets just behaving as irrationally as they are. It's really, really difficult to know what to do. And I think the right thing to do is going to depend on what type of investor you are. I think if you're an investor and you are anticipating needing any of the funds in the market within the next 2 or 3 years, I think it might make sense to take some off the table. Really, those funds shouldn't have been in the market to begin with. and it might make sense to pull some funds off the table. But if you're an investor and you don't foresee needing any money within 5 years or plus, really, history has shown the right thing to do is to ride it out. What you need to do is the first thing is look at your investments.
Right.
Pay attention to the assets that you own. You can control the assets. You can buy the assets. You can sell the assets. You can pick good companies. You can avoid bad companies.
Mm-hmm.
But what you cannot control is the price. And you cannot control what the irrational markets will do to that price.
You mentioned irrational a couple of times here. Fear and greed, emotion, really drives the market up and down. Do you think that right now the past 3 days have been based on facts or fears?
I think a lot of it has been fear. I think if you look at the economic numbers that have come out last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, really this slide started about a little over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had manufacturing numbers, we had private sector numbers, and we had unemployment numbers. Well, the manufacturing numbers are measured on a 100-point scale. Anything above 50 is expansion.
Okay.
We thought we were going to hit 54, came in at 50.5. Not up to expectations,
mm-hmm.
but still signaling expansion. Same thing for the private sector numbers. We were thinking it was going to come in at about 56, came in at 53. Again, not as good as what had been expected, but still signaling expansion. The unemployment numbers came in better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but what I try to remind a lot of my clients is there's a big difference between not great and bad. Just because it's not great doesn't mean it's bad. So there's a lot of economic signal. There's no question that the economy has slowed down to even where we thought it would be 6 months ago.
Okay.
But again, that does not. There are no signals that we are facing a contraction. So I think a lot of this is panic. I think a lot of people, the wounds from 2008 are still a little tender. And I think a lot of people are saying, man, I should have gone to cash earlier than I did.
Okay.
So I'm not going to miss this opportunity.
Great question on my Facebook page. Randolph says, who makes money during these types of free falls?
Well, not a lot of people.
I mean, somebody's making money, right?
Well, no. If you bought anything, let's say you bought a book and you paid $10 for it, then you had to turn around and sell it for $4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody made that $6. Maybe the guy that sold you the book for $10 is the only one making money. So somebody that sold 3 days ago is probably the only one smiling right now.
Do you think there were a number of people that were in the market shorting it, anticipating what was happening today?
You know, if you look at shorts, and we've studied this a lot, the shorts are actually a very inefficient part of the market. Not as many people short as go long.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certainly a lot of people shorting, but I'm not sure if that's really what's moving the market. I think a lot of people are saying, I need to get out. I don't care what I get. Just get me out. And when you don't care what price you get, you get a bad price.
President Obama spoke earlier this afternoon trying to calm the fears in Wall Street, saying that the nation's leaders need only show more common sense and compromise to tame a staggering accumulation of debt. But the market's obviously not responding to that. I mean, he's saying the right thing. Why do you think that the markets aren't responding to him, that he just is an issue where he's just not showing true leadership on this?
You know, I think it's just people are fed up with Washington. You're hearing the same old things that everybody says we need to be bipartisan and we need to, you know, look at the long road. But I think it's just a reminder that I don't know if there's any politicians in Washington right now that are willing to lose their job. And that's what we need, somebody that's able to go in and make the hard choices, not just for their lobbyists, not for their constituents, but for the long-term health of the country. And that's going to mean a lot of sacrifices on everybody's part. It probably is going to mean that taxes are going to have to go up in one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly means that certain benefits and entitlements are going to have to change.
Okay.
So we're all going to have to feel the pain. And I'm not sure if there's the political will in Washington right now to do that and make those hard choices.
All right. One more question for you. I have about 30 seconds. Do you think it was the right move ultimately to increase the debt ceiling, or should it have remained the same?
No, I think the debt ceiling is a complete non-issue. My issue with the debt ceiling is it's not based on anything economic. Politicians just draw that line in the sand. It's essentially an arbitrary number. If I was an advisor to the folks in Washington, I would have said, listen, raise the debt ceiling, get that off the table so we can go on functioning the economy and let's start concentrating.
But if we wouldn't have raised the debt ceiling, it would have threatened the economy?
Oh, it would have been a disaster if we wouldn't have raised the debt ceiling. For the United States of America to voluntarily default, it would have been a disaster. Not so much in the near term, but right. That would be the crack that would give China and India the opportunity to move in.
Jamie Meredith, financial analyst, vice president at Heffron Tillotson, host of Your Money and You, heard Sundays right here on KDK. Jamie, thank you much.
My pleasure.
All right, stick around. News headlines are next.